to Showbiz Atlanta. I'm your host, Dana Barrett. We are live today from the 200 Peachtree Studio, and my guest is the lovely Tom Tone. Tom is an actor, director, producer, acting teacher, and coach, and one of my personal mentors. So, Tom, I want to jump right in. You originally were an actor in New York, then left the business, went corporate for a while, and then decided to get back into it here in Atlanta. Tell me how that happened and why.
When my family and I left, and I left the business so that I could help my wife raise our son. At that time, I wasn't quite making my living as an actor, and she was working three, sometimes four jobs, and I was driving cab and doing all that other stuff, and I had this little boy who had already, I mean, from the moment we knew we were pregnant, had stolen my heart. And I just decided that as much as I wanted to try and crack the business and make it my life, he was much more important. So we took off, went to Arizona for a couple of years, and then I came to Atlanta to open a branch for the business that I was working with out there.
So you, when you came here, it was really for other reasons. It
had nothing to do with show business. Okay. Yeah. I had pretty much gone into denial about who I was in show business.
Right.
And my wife will back that up because she was constantly pestering me to get back and do this. But when my son got to an age where it felt like, you know, it would be okay for me to go back there and do my thing again, I did. That was in 2004.
Right.
And the first thing I did was to take a class.
So you'd been out of it at that point for a number of years.
Like 15 years.
And yeah. So you were saying to yourself, huh, can I even do this?
Oh, exactly. Exactly. You know, actors just intrinsically have this self-confidence issue. We're all, you know, we're very vulnerable and we're always not good enough.
Right.
And after being out of the business for so long, a real good friend of mine had suggested that I get back in. And my answer to him was, oh, come on, I'm old now, I can't do it.
Right.
And he said, no, you just go, you know, go take a class and shake the rust off and get back in here. We need you. So I took a class actually with Nick Conti.
Right.
And shortly after that, I had an agent and I was making a little bit here and there on some commercial work and some stage work. And I was still working in the corporate world. But it became very clear to me that that was a disaster. Being in the corporate world was a disaster for me. It just wasn't my milieu.
Yeah.
And so in 2006, I just let that job go. And from that point forward, I've been basically, I won't say a full-time actor because, you know, we don't work full-time.
Right.
But I am a professional actor and I don't work now outside of show business at all.
Well, I think that's an interesting point because people, I think there's a lot of people who are afraid, who may be talented or they may be completely untalented, but who are afraid of this business because it is not full time. Mm-hmm. It's not like you get hired. I mean, I guess the very, very few lucky people get a contract and get hired to do something that is full time. But for most people, it's project to project.
Sure. Yeah. And for me, that is kind of a double edged sword. My personality lends itself to what I call startup. I'm very good in the sprint.
Yeah.
I'm not a long-distance runner, generally.
Right.
So, you know, having project to project is great for me because I want something that's finite. I want to see the end game and know that I'm not trapped,
yeah.
That I can move on.
Yeah.
And so there's always another project.
Right.
The other thing is, the double-edged sword on this thing is that, you know, you have to commit to this business. You really can't progress to a significant level of achievement unless you are dedicated to it. It's like any other career. And one of the people that I really appreciate who writes about acting is David Mamet. And one of the things that he says in his book, True and False, is that if you have a fallback, you will. And when I read that, it was about the time that I was struggling with this. And I just thought, well, you know what? I personally have lived under a bridge in my life, and here I am now. I'm just going to step off the cliff and make it work. And, you know, so far I have made it work. Now, excuse me, I do have, I do a lot of things. I teach, I work in film, I obviously occasionally get a commercial here and there. I've had This past couple of years, been very fortunate to do some feature films, some Hollywood work, independent, but out of Hollywood. Also worked with Tyler Perry, and worked a lot on stage here in this market. And I feel fortunate for that in one respect, but in the other respect, I feel proud of it because I didn't give up. It's like, no, I'm not going to go flip burgers. It's just not going to happen. I'll figure the finances out some other way.
Well, I think what you're saying is the case in a lot of creative careers, because I had a good friend who's an author who once said to me that the difference between published authors and talented unpublished authors often is perseverance. It's not giving up. That's the difference. It's not that the other writers aren't talented. It's just that they gave up. They didn't stick with it. They didn't take that leap off the cliff that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And so in addition to all this wonderful acting work that you're doing, you've got a couple other projects, right? Some directing, some producing. Tell me about some of that.
Yeah. excuse me. I don't know. Something's growing in my throat today.
It happens.
It does happen. Currently I'm blessed to have quite a number of projects on my plate that are running almost concurrently. I'm most excited about a stage play that I'm going to be directing called Talking With by Jane Martin. It's a series of monologues with 11 different actresses, all of whom take a look at life from their own individual perspectives, from their personality and their place in life, as written by Jane Martin. It is being produced by Out of Box Theater. Carolyn Cho is starting that theater. It's the premiere, the maiden voyage of the theater company. And
okay.
I'm privileged to be sitting in the director's chair along with Carolyn, who's the artistic director. It's interesting. When we spoke about it at first, she offered me the work and she said, there's a caveat. And I said, okay, what's the caveat? She said, I am a type A personality and I'm an over-the-shoulder nitpicker.
Uh-oh.
And I'm a little nervous about my first show not having some control over it. How do you feel about that? And I said, well, this is how I feel about it. You and I ought to just co-direct. And I'll do the bulk of the work. And anything that doesn't fit in with what you have as a vision for your company, you just tap me on the shoulder and say, no, I don't think so.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'll take the second seat. I don't mind that.
Now, I have to jump into this just a tiny little bit because I'm totally letting everyone in right now on the whole thing. Like, there's no holes barred here. But
yeah.
I just finished reading the play.
Yeah.
And the funny thing about all of what you're saying right now is that the very first monologue is the beginning of it anyway, is about directors interacting with actors. So
exactly. It's called 15 Minutes and it's an astounding piece for an actress.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. I just thought that was kind of funny because you're describing a co-director tapping the other one and, you know.
Yeah. But, you know, I learned fairly late in the game how important the teamwork aspect is in this business. I was a bit of a loose cannon when I was running around in New York, and as a result, I made some poor decisions, and I'm sure in retrospect that held my career back. But this round, I'm totally and fully committed to the teamwork aspect of it. And yeah, I have an ego and yeah, I have some strong opinions, but you know what? It's about the work. And it's always been about the work for me, but it's what was my perspective on the work changed. It's about the work now, about the work. And then it was about the work, about me and the work.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a big difference there. But this show, we're actually going into auditions this coming weekend at the Artisans Resource Center out in Marietta. It's on Cobb Parkway from things like 12 o'clock to 4 o'clock on Saturday and then from 2 until, I guess, 6 on Sunday. But if anyone who's listening would like to read, it's 11 women, and we've had some amazing response from our outstanding female talent pool here in Atlanta. I'm just stoked. If you'd like to participate, you can email Carolyn at outofboxtheater.com for a time. We added a couple of hours to our schedule because we filled up so quickly, and that's I'm very gratified by that. I have another thing to say about this show.
Oh, please.
It's very interesting. It's a personal story. This is a show that I stage managed in New York at a place called Studio Theater of Long Island. And I stage managed it because I had been working at that theater for almost 2 years and being cast in almost everything. I was like, oh, God, I'm on a roll. And the board let out that they were going to do this show. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, you can't do a show with all women.
Then I can't be cast.
What about me? Yeah. It was a female director, a female set designer. It was a female technical director. It was like, oh, my God, I got to get in on this. And so I threw my hat in the ring as a stage manager, and they hired me. It became clear to me very quickly with 11 women, 11 scene changes, and the diversity of these pieces that I was in over my head. And so I went to my director and said, I am in over my head. She said, okay, I have a little budget. Hire an ASM. So I put an ad in the paper, and this very, very energetic, attractive young woman arrived at the studio to interview with me, and she was exactly what I was looking for. She was, at the time, was an executive secretary and was accustomed to heavy paperwork, and that's what was burying me. And I hired her, and ultimately, that woman, Peg Brugner, became my wife.
I knew you were going to say that show.
And there's an interesting story around how that happened, but we'll save that for another time.
All right.
So it's kind of fortuitous, prophetic, something that now I have an opportunity to direct that, because during that show I did have some very strong ideas.
Yeah.
But I had to bite my tongue because I was the stage manager, and I gave input. But anyway, back to the business in Atlanta. This market is just unbelievably fertile.
Yeah. So even in the five or six years since you've been back into this, mm-hmm. doing it here, have you seen it change on the grow?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The amount of work that's happening here. The theater community is relatively stable, and I say that in the sense that, you know, theaters have their seasons, and there's so many theaters, and there are so many parts and so many shows. But new theaters are cropping up, even though some disappeared over the past couple of years. Mm-hmm. But now, for instance, Carolyn is starting a new theater. I think people have figured out how to deal with this economy. I know that the established theaters have, because they're still going. They know how to tighten their belt, and they know how to be very creative about expenditures and getting return on their investment for their dollars. And the new folks are saying, hey, you know what? I can do this. It's very similar to that idea of, if you have a fallback, you will. It's that total commitment. You go say, I'm going to do it.
Right.
And then you just do it until you're absolutely shown for certain that you can't do it.
But I think there's an interesting point to be made here, and that is that, you know, we just had a show on the station a couple of hours ago about with two women who just partnered together in a business unrelated to show business, but one of them was sort of the creative thinker and the public speaker and sort of the talent, if you will, and the other one was sort of the business person. And so I think the point also, too, is that you should know what your shortcomings are and make sure that you find the right people to partner with, that you can delegate to somebody and all of those things. I mean, you know, Carolyn's starting this theater, but she's not doing everything herself. You know, she's got you directing this play. She wants her hand in, but she also knows to pull back.
Exactly. Exactly right. And I'm the same way with her. I mean, you know, I'm an airhead when it comes to budgets and dollars and all of that. My wife will tell you that right from the get go. She's on pins and I'm handling the bills at home, and she's on pins and needles constantly.
She's like waiting for you to screw up.
Yeah, and she'll never know, because I'm great at the shell game. You know, it's a talent, but the things that Carolyn does, I just can't do that. Peg and I had talked about, you know, wouldn't it be great if we could start a theater? Well, we don't have the administrative skills and the marketing skills to even imagine that we could possibly do that. We're actors, and you know, and I'm a director and a producer, and she can also direct very well. So there's certain things that we can't do that keep us out of it at that level. And so you're right. Well, I guess long-winded way of saying absolutely right, you know, to inventory your skills and be brutally honest with yourself about what your strong suit is and what your weak suit is. And then once you've done that and been honest with yourself, then you can decide which of my weak points do I want to invest energy in improving, and which do I want to just say, hey, I got to cut that loose. I got to let it go.
Yeah.
You know, for me, I have written and produced and directed a single short film. And I'm proud of it, but upon watching it, I realized that the shortcoming in it is my weakness as a writer. And so I'm like, okay, you know, that was fun, and I am proud of it and all of that, but I'm just going to direct and act and produce.
Right, and pair up with another writer.
Pair up with another writer, which I have done with a partner of mine on a project called At Risk.
Are we segueing into another project, Tom?
We could be.
We could. Let's do it.
And At Risk is right now in development. I engaged a writer. His name is Michael H. Harper, who is a very creative man, and who the reason that I encouraged him to work with us was primarily because there is yet another project that I'm working on now called Becoming Jerry, which he wrote. And when he found out that I was cast for it, he actually rewrote my part for me because he had researched my IMDb page and my website and saw what kind of an actor I was. And so he rewrote it for me. And I thought, wow, there's a guy who really wants to, you know, make the best of everything.
Yeah.
So my partner, Bruce Culpepper, and I have hired him to write this short film, 15-minute film called At Risk, about at-risk youth. And the focus of it really is the ripple effect of what happens around a given, any single at-risk youth from the perspective of the youth and his family, the justice system who has to interact, and also the counselors and the psychologists and the various other folks in our social system who are trying to help these people. We think about the at-risk youth and the devastation that occurs to them and their families, but we rarely think about what the effects are to the others who are, quote, in the system, unquote, who also have to interact, because they're people too. So we have high hopes for this. We think it's going to be, it's a very gritty, true story based on an experience that Bruce had when he was in the system as a counselor.
Okay.
And so we're moving along with that. So, I mean, I've got three film projects I'm working on right now, plus I'm directing. I'm in Atlanta.
Right,
I'm
I was going to say,
New York. I'm not in LA.
It brings up a really interesting point, because most of what you're talking about is not, just pretend everyone can see me and I'm doing air quotes, is not, you know, mainstream stuff necessarily, in the sense that while there are a lot of big mainstream productions going on here with all of the TV shows, the Teen Wolf and Drop Dead Diva and all the ones that are going on here, and then big movies coming through all the time, but there's also a lot of independent work, short films, independent films, web series, all kinds of opportunities for people in all areas of the business.
That's correct.
And so even that's been growing, right, over the last 5 years?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. You know, it's not that Hollywood is dying at all.
No,
but,
of course not.
But, you know, certainly if you look, I'll give you an example. For instance, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Sure.
It's a Swedish film, I believe.
Yes.
And the remake in the USA.
Yep.
Is quite different. And if you watch both of them, you say to yourself in the Hollywood film, which is outstanding. I mean, you know, Daniel Craig is a monster on screen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw that glint in your eye. But the grit is missing from it for me after watching the other.
I agree.
Yep. So there's a place for this, and most people are talking about now, at least in my circles, is how do we distribute this stuff? How do we get it seen? And the internet is an amazing outlet for that, an amazing resource that people are now really starting to mine and really figuring out how to get your stuff seen.
Right.
So we have to be very careful about our politicians who are right now talking about getting their claws into the internet with these two new bills that are out there. I forget the names of them, SOPA and PIPA. They want to, they are looking at ways to try and find sites that are doing this or doing that and the other thing and being able to throw a switch and close them down without any any rule of law being involved. The Justice Department can do it. FCC can do it. We've got to be very careful about that. So take a look at that. You know, Google That's OPA and PIPA. And then also, I would say, you know, try to interact with your representatives and let them know, hey, you know, we've got a thriving business going here. And since you guys really aren't very good businessmen, that's kind of been proved, you know, maybe ought to let us just deal with that.
Yeah, well, and every time they try to regulate the internet, it sort of seems like, you're doing what? How can you even do, I don't know. Seems crazy.
Well, they can, because obviously the internet was created by the government. So.
Oh, of course. Wasn't it Al Gore that invented it? Wasn't that what that?
Yeah.
Is that how that happened?
It was the Defense Department, but.
Well, close enough. You know, whatever. Politicians, Defense Department,
Right.
And also, there. In addition to the internet, there are. I was watching Hulu the other day, which I guess that's internet too. Mm-hmm. But there's even original programming on there now, yeah. And there's all different lengths of original programming. I was watching what I thought was a new show the other day. I clicked on something, and it had one name star, and the rest of the people were people I did not know. And I put it on. I was sort of walking around the house doing other things, cleaning and whatever. And I assumed it was a half an hour sitcom, and all of a sudden, after 10 minutes, it was over. And I was like, whoa. That's new,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So there's all kinds of things going on, is my point, and all kinds of opportunities for people. What's your best advice for somebody who's never done anything maybe, or did something in high school or whatever, and is deciding they're here in Atlanta, they want to get started. Should they pack their bags and run out to Hollywood, or what's the best thing?
Well, yeah, I mean, you can do that if you want to end up behind a dumpster somewhere. That's probably a thing you could do. It's tough. It's very, very tough in that city or in New York City to just pack up and go there. You can't imagine the competition. It's unbelievable. There's a lot of competition here too.
Yeah.
But our particular market is a much, I want to choose my words carefully. It's a much more family-friendly market. People are helping each other out a lot to move forward. My suggestion is, if you have no experience or if you have very little experience, is to get some training.
Yeah.
And get some specific training. Not just, you know, like people want to go to scene study classes, and there's nothing wrong with that. But unless you know what the techniques are that you can bring to bear, what the tools are an actor uses to work in a scene, you know, you might be spinning your wheels. Creative Studios of Atlanta, owned by Ken and Heather Feinberg, where I teach and where Vince Pisani teaches, and Dave Pileggi and Clayton Landy, Deborah Richards are all down there. We are focusing on the film arts, on film acting, camera acting, film and television. And my class, as you know, is specific to finding those tools that you can grab and use instantly at any given time in your career, primarily around the audition process, because you're not going to work if you don't audition.
Yeah.
Right? So you have to audition. And if you fail at audition technique, you're not going to get hired, so you're not going to be able to practice your craft in the real world.
Right.
So I use the audition scenario as my workshop, and I share and relate to my students those things that are absolutely necessary to hit that thing quickly, because you usually only have a couple of days with a set aside for an audition.
Yeah.
So you have to learn how to work quickly, and the way to work quickly is to work simply.
Yeah.
So you want to boil down all the paradigms that you have coming into the business, select the ones that are actually true, get rid of the ones that aren't, and then find those little nuggets that can really, really put you in the spotlight when you audition.
Right.
And so that's what we do. And, of course, it's my class is like a little red schoolhouse. I have people there who are just starting, and I have people there who have been around for a while.
Right.
And we all work together, and everybody works at their level so that everybody gets to have the experience of seeing. For instance, new people get the experience of seeing better actors or more experienced actors work and how they work, and hear the discussion around how they can get better.
Yeah.
And then the more experienced actors hear the basics repeated again, which we have a tendency to forget very quickly, because we get our heads get going and we're like, oh, I got this.
Yeah.
And we forget things.
And I have to tell you also on a kind of similar note, I know, you know, many years ago when I was just a little younger, I was, you know, kind of semi-interested in getting into acting and whatever, you know, back in my 20s, early 20s. And I was, there really, I think the internet was around then, but barely. It was sort of not really there. It wasn't what it is now by any stretch. Maybe there was email. I don't even think there might have been one. There might not have even been email yet at this point in my life.
You're not
this,
that old. Come
on. We're admitting how old I am now. But no, we're not going to tell anybody outside of all the people listening to this podcast or this radio show. But, you know, I remember sort of not knowing where to start and sort of reading, you know, picking up a magazine that had an article about how to do it or, you know, and maybe asking an acting teacher or something. But now it's so easy to get online and find some resources to find something like Creative Studios. There are several studios in Atlanta. I don't want to be totally unfair and biased, mm-hmm. but
sure.
that are
I know there's a lot of really good studios
right,
in this town.
That are teaching professional actors, absolutely. Adults and all of that. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the interesting things, to make a long story longer, is, you know, when you get into an environment like that, I mean, the training, of course, is invaluable, but also the connections, the people that you meet that are in class with you, they know about a website that you didn't know about. Mm-hmm. They know about a project that you didn't know about. And I think even just that has been really interesting for me as someone who's relatively new getting back into it after however many years. And so people who think they already know everything and already have the talent and don't need a class, they're missing something.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about the networking aspect of being in class, particularly a place like our studio, and also other studios have the same sort of thing. They have a wide variety of offerings.
Yeah.
So you're constantly bumping into people who are in either different disciplines or at different levels, and you're questioning them or just conversing with them, and information just flows freely there. So you have a greater opportunity to hook up with work,
yeah.
which is what the object is.
Absolutely.
Do the work.
Absolutely.
We have a member of your class, Kelsey, who is right now working on a film.
Yeah.
And so she's working on the film.
Right.
You know, I'm like, she's like, oh, I'm so sorry, I can't come to class. And I'm like, I'm glad you can't come to class.
Right.
I want you to work. That's
right.
The whole point here. You
right.
know, get out there and use it.
Absolutely. So, but we have a couple minutes left. And before we wrap up, I want to ask you a little bit about the unions, because
yep.
I know the theories are different, also different from state to state.
Mm-hmm.
So it's different if you're in Hollywood versus if you're here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
About whether or not as an actor, you should be in a union or you should join or how, you know, all of that. But also there's some stuff going on with the unions merging. Right? Do you know about that?
Yeah, yeah. You know, I have to admit that even though I'm a member of AFTRA and we are merging into the one union with SAG, I'm not fully advised of that.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm not fully versed on it. But I can tell you that from my perspective, it is a good thing
that they're merging.
It's a good thing that they're merging, and unions are a good thing for performers. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm an equity member, and I'm an AFTRA member. I've not joined SAG,
right?
Primarily because I'm broke.
Yeah, and it's expensive.
And it's expensive, and I'm not sure that that's my path.
Right. Well, I've also heard that in Atlanta, it's not really necessary because there's plenty of work you can get without that here.
There's a lot of work. And because we're a right-to-work state and the unions, you know, understandably are struggling against this, or not against it, but they're struggling with this, is that, you know, you can work on a union project if you are not union in Georgia because it is a right-to-work state, and that's great. But you have to decide what your path is. And once you make that commitment, you commit yourself to a union, and you just do it. I don't do any non-union stage work. I rarely do television work. I do some independent film work, and I always approach my union reps about that and let them know what I'm hoping to do, and they'll give me a reading on, yeah, do it, or, you know, maybe not.
Right, right. It's an interesting dilemma, I think, for a lot of people, the whole union thing. But
it is. It is a personal. It's a personal choice, and you have to do your homework on it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Tom, before we wrap up, if people want to learn more about you, they go to your website, which is?
It's tonearts.com.
TONEARTS.com.
And you can also go to Creative Studios of Atlanta and see my profile there and see the courses that I and everyone else offers. And I guess that's kind of it.
All right.
Or you can go to my Facebook page and look me up
and
there.
Find all your personal details.
Not really.
All right. That is our show for today. Tom, thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, quickly. Out of Box Theater on Facebook.
Out of Box Theater on Facebook. You heard it here. This is Showbiz Atlanta. I'm Dana Barrett. We'll see you next week.